Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 8th of June, recording at 9:12 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here in another interesting day. First, Asian stock markets having opened weaker than recovered most of those losses, and the majority of stock markets in Asia ended the day with modest gains. One of the better ones was Australia, up 1.28%. The European stock markets seesawed a little bit, but were mostly in negative territory and closed there. Wall Street was interesting because the Dow, for instance, seesawed on about 70 points either side of unchanged before rallying towards the close. little bit of a reversal of previous form that we've seen recently, where there's been a late sell-off. This time we had a late rally, although the NASDAQ composite still managed to close down slightly. The S&P 500 and the Dow were both up over 1%. Now, elsewhere, against that background, well, long-dated government bonds were prices were still quietly steady, modest gains in bond prices. the U.S. dollar took a breather here today, as did the yen. Actually, it was so we saw a little bit of profit taking in the dollar. The strongest currencies today, though, were the resources sector. And, for instance, the Australian dollar against the U.S. back up to 0.8276 as I speak. That's up 172 points. What else to mention? Precious metals. Well, gold hit a new all-time high in U.S. dollars here today, getting up to 1252 and 11, but it couldn't hold it. Excuse me, scratchy voice. And is currently trading at 1237.25. That's down $3. The other precious metals, though, showed small gains on the day. Industrial metals, which have been hit hard recently, closed with small gains. And I see sugar is higher here today. Among livestock contracts, the pig meat contracts, lean hogs and pork bellies were a little bit lower. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, sorry, again for the voice, and also moving on a little bit too quickly. Crude oil, 72.17, that's up a little bit, and natural gas fell back from the $5 level. It's currently at 4.80. Okay, what's going on? Well, stock markets remain nervous, that's for certain, and we still have that perfect storm of factors that I didn't call it a perfect storm. I called it a triple waterfall of factors, which included, as you may recall, the May 6th meltdown, although the memory of that fades with time. But a big factor there, although it certainly unnerved investors and continues to do so to a certain extent, but the bigger factor was the euro's problems and then the China slowdown and so on. So it's been a sharp correction for most global stock markets. A number of the 200-day rising, 200-day moving averages representing the medium-term trend mean have been broken, or markets are still challenging those. But this is not a bear market resumption, in my opinion. And I don't see the justification of it, not with the Western yield curve where it actually is, and not with interest rates where they currently are. The big question in my mind, though, is do we go lower before we go higher? Yesterday, I also addressed the same question and felt that, given the fear that was in the air and most of the evidence from most of the technical indicators, we're probably likely that we would see stock markets go a little bit lower. Today's rally represents or has bought a little bit of breathing space, perhaps, but is not significant enough to tip the overall balance from bearish to bullish. But I haven't reopened my shorts in this market. Of course, I have only just come back from holiday as of yesterday, and I missed the selling opportunity, therefore, last Friday when markets really did start to unravel with some big key day reversals. But overall, we're seeing some choppy ranging activity for quite a few markets, and in Europe and also some of the US indices, such as the NASDAQ, which is often a leader, the lower side of the recent trading range is being tested. And we also have lower highs for these indices. So really a stronger case for stock markets is very much for the bulls to prove at this stage. And it'll be interesting. Overall, I feel that the silver lining in all of this is that valuations are improving, and that certainly includes the fuller money themes overall. And I'm looking for buying opportunities, as I've said before, but I'm not rushing in this environment. As a matter of fact, in my long-term portfolio, I've taken a profit in a gold share, Lihir Gold, that reached a target that I had placed in the market just before going away on holiday. I've discussed that before. Okay, so where are we going overall? Don't be surprised if we see some further ranging here in stock markets. Again, I want to emphasize that although these are nervous conditions overall, I think this is just a lengthy correction, not some sort of sustainable meltdown. The only exceptions to that, though, would be the worst affected markets in terms of fundamentals. Greece, for instance. But there was never a suggestion from this service that one should go near Greece, at least in investment terms. Lovely place to visit, though. Fuller money themes are reasonably solid, although I continue to maintain that Australian super profits tax on miners is a very, very bad idea. For a long time, Fuller Money and others have talked about the attractiveness of assets in the ground. I'm talking about now mining assets, but also oil, in the ground in politically stable regions. Australia is the last place that I would have expected to be less politically stable. That's an exaggeration, and I'll no doubt upset some Australian subscribers. So I'll say politically less predictable. And that's had a negative effect. Owen has written about that here today using an article kindly forwarded by a subscriber talking about Xstrata putting an Australian coal mining project on hold because they say it's the expenditure is not justifiable. So the debate's going to continue over this. I see the Australian Prime Minister just calls it argy bargy, but I hope to outlive this super profits tax. Now, what else? Long-dated government bonds. The rally is, well, it's really been nothing short of breathtaking, hasn't it, in the long-dated government bond prices, pushing yields down to very low levels, the lowest that we have seen since the depression discounting lows of the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009. Now, as then, I feel these levels are unsustainable here beyond the short to medium term. And as confidence returns to stock markets, and I don't know whether that's going to take a few weeks or a few months, but when it does return, I would expect to see those long-dated government bond yields back up and therefore bond prices to come down really quite sharply. The analogy I used yesterday was the people who were fleeing the European bonds, for instance, or at least the southern European bonds, were a little bit like people running out of a house that's on fire and going into the adjacent attached house next door. Well, that offers a temporary haven, but suffers some similar problems, or some related problems, although obviously not as severe as Greece's problems. Okay, what about gold? Late in the cycle here, as far as the medium-term trend is concerned, but still looks capable of pushing somewhat higher in here in the short term, provided we don't see a move below, I think it was that, let me get the price right here. I wrote about it yesterday and commented, and I think it's down about 1190. To see gold below 1190, and it's currently at 1237, but below 1190 for a day or two, that would be taking out a minor initial support level. And I would prefer not to see that. From the perspective of someone who has reopened a small long in gold. The industrial metals look quite overstretched to me, and therefore I would not be at all surprised if today's bounce represents the beginning of a slowdown in the overall decline, but probably they'll take most of their cue from what the U.S. dollar does. The U.S. dollar looks somewhat overextended to me on the upside, but we would really need to see some sort of overall rollover, downward dynamics, loss of upside momentum for these upward trends before we could expect the upward dynamics by some of these industrial metals and support building prior to another significant advance. In other words, the industrial metals have done a little bit too much technical damage to move back up quickly in all probability, but they look cheap to me. With a pistol at my head, which fortunately I don't have, I'd be a buyer rather than a seller. The pygmy contracts, which I mentioned briefly in my review of what had happened during the day, they look like short sales to me. That's pork bellies and lean hogs. And I mentioned the resources currencies were strong in here today. They look somewhat oversold. They would have the best chance, I feel, of a rebound against the US dollar, partly because the resources theme is going to remain strong more than it is weak, and the countries, the major resources producing countries, have far better overall fundamentals, arguably, than the comparatively weak Eurozone or the UK, which is under some of the same pressures that are afflicting other European countries. However, sterling looks pretty oversold to me, generally, and I have long maintained that the change in government would, before the election, I was saying I felt that sterling would start to firm following the election. I was expecting a conservative victory. Well, we got that sort of, but winding up with a coalition government, as you know, and that caused the market to have some doubts and concerns. But I think following the budget that's coming out later this month, I think the market will probably like that because it'll emphasize deficit reduction measures. And provided that doesn't disappoint the markets, in other words, provided there's sufficiently sharp cuts, I think that sterling will firm further. And I think that's pretty much it here, and another interesting day in the markets. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.